T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Molly and Hall.
We're trying to wake Chicago up.
Live at 5 on 670 The Score.
And here they come.
We're getting closer to this point where we understand what Trubisky is and what he isn't.
Haven't we known that all along?
Well, Molly,
I mean, when you say we're getting closer, you mean Matt Nagy.
Yeah, I kind of do. This is a quarterback that, as much criticism as we've leveled at him all season long because of what he hasn't been, there's a lot to like that you could like if you accentuate it. I think that he's an athletic quarterback. I think he actually can do some things on his feet, on the fly, when he's not thinking and he is reacting. And I think that's the takeaway from yesterday, was that it reminded us that there is a quarterback in there worth salvaging, a guy that you believe that the Bears may invest hope in 2020, as the pregame report said. I just don't know if they're approaching it the way that they should be approaching it with him.
I agree with you for the most part. I do think there are things that Trubisky can do. I don't know that it's a huge slate of things that he can do. But if you zero in on the things that he can do, it's a mystery to me why they haven't been doing it earlier in games and why they haven't been doing it earlier in the season.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall.
Your morning guy over there.
Mornings on The Score.
Left quarter, Mello for three. Book it.
Wow.
Carmelo Anthony. Right quarter, Carmelo Anthony with a pull-up baseline. Wow. Right. Count it and a foul on a nine-footer. Carmelo Anthony with the hoop and the Harmon one. Mark it in now again. A clear out. They got Anthony covered by Satoransky. And Carmelo to the rack. And a two-handed, right-handed dunk.
It's time now for the player of the game. And we have to go with the oldest player on the court tonight. That's Carmelo Anthony. He finishes up with 25 points.
What?
Mully Hall.
I'm so fired up.
Here we go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, yeah. Carmelo Anthony is the reason you lose.
Oh, brother.
Welcome to the NBA.
Morning, Molly.
Good morning, Mr. David. How are you,
Happy
sir?
Happy Tuesday. Well,
oh,
you know.
It's a glorious Tuesday, isn't it?
I'm fine. It's good. You know, short week.
Sure.
Thanksgiving Thursday. Looking forward to that. But, boy, last night, what a tough time to be a Bulls fan this year, this season.
Well,
watching it happen. Another embarrassing night at the United Center.
They're not very good, are they? I mean, ultimately, if you threaten a player, maybe you get a game out of them once every week.
It would be okay if they were just not very good. The level of embarrassment,
yeah,
when you have a guy like Carmelo Anthony FaceTiming during the game with his kid, it's a mockery.
I thought we had agreed that after the weekend that things had turned and they were going to be fun again.
There had been great coaching done, didn't we? What happened to that storyline?
You know, and I tried that, Kevin. I did. I tried to see things, you know, like, okay, good roster, fun team, second youngest team in the league. I think they have told us a couple dozen times or so. But when you see the two highlights of the season, the most animated, engaged you've seen Bulls fans this year have been when? MVP Derrick Rose shows up. MVP.
Oh, God,
MVP. And last night, the chance for Melo.
Yeah.
That's bad.
No, I thought that the Zach LaVine game was the most important game of the season.
But that was on the road.
I know, but it was still the most important game of the season. I just thought there'd be carryover. I don't think there's any reason to believe there'd be carryover because there clearly was no reason for that game to have happened. I just thought, like, wow, oh, look at that. And then I watched last night, and no.
It was hard to watch.
Well, it was difficult to watch, especially with a football game on where Lamar Jackson was kind of – I think the day before, everybody was kind of talking about how good the Niners are, this recency bias.
Yeah.
And then this guy walks out. You know, the thing that's extraordinary about him, and it is extraordinary about him, is that he's better than the defenders trying to tackle him. He's just a better athlete.
He's more athletic.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
and you think that there are unbelievably great players in the league and it's going to be hard for him. But he not only can throw the ball, and he can throw the ball, but he is a better athlete than anyone attempting to tackle him.
You feel a little
How
silly.
Is that possible?
I think it's obvious, though. And when you talk about, you know, coming in and yesterday, the Bears need to use Mitch Trubisky's athleticism more to their advantage because he's a good runner. And he is. And no disrespect to him. But then you see the different level of good runner.
No Lamar Jackson.
Nobody is.
Nobody is.
This is a guy that right now is playing at as high of a level as anybody in the NFL. He is the MVP right now.
He's fantastic.
5 touchdown passes.
He was fantastic.
And how about the Rams
yesterday?
Can they fire everybody that was hired because of their association with Sean McVay? Are they safe?
You know, I believe it or not, I spent a lot of time yesterday. I was trying to loosen up a little bit, and I was walking around, and I was thinking a
loosen
lot.
Up, like
my
your
back.
Tense? Oh,
and my
okay.
My,
I thought, like you're trying to like read joke books or something.
No, I've got a bad back. It's killing me. It's just becoming a problem. We got the holiday around the corner, and Mully's going into bah humbug mode.
It's all a problem.
It's all a problem. I don't know if anyone ever had back problems.
It's a problem. Yeah.
Makes you a different human. It's just, you know, the happy-go-lucky thing. It gets more like, what did you say? Are you looking at me? It's just, you're just kind of on edge.
I would rather have my gout situation than your back issues.
It's all a problem.
Yeah, right? Thanks, Foxy. Anyway, we digress. Right, you're getting
but
deep.
Anyway, I'm stretching around, and I'm trying to walk around, and I'm trying to get a little relief, and I'm thinking a lot. I was thinking a lot about just the decision they made on Goff and the decision you make, because we talked yesterday about Mitch and about this idea that there's a report that, they're all in on Mitch, which is absurd. And I just thought a lot about how you go about that decision. And the thing is, David, I would imagine it's an easier decision to make if you get to a Super Bowl. You know, they didn't win it, but they got to a Super Bowl. So that affects the way that you view it, even if the guy wasn't the one responsible for it. Even if he was a bit of a passenger on the Super Bowl Express, you got to the Super Bowl, and you had the young coach. And I thought to myself, like, we'll learn a lot more about that team tonight because the Ravens can play defense, and they've got this dynamic play.
Well, you found out. And I think you're right. When you get to the Super Bowl, though, you achieve a certain level of success that, you know, in Chicago you haven't reached yet. And from an NFL franchise standpoint, you win a conference. I mean, they were the NFC champions, so there was nothing insignificant. That said, you know, they might have overreacted in giving him all the money now the way that it looks. He went the entire month of November, Dustin pointed out today, without a touchdown pass. So
it's extraordinary.
You look at what he has not done and how disappointing
and
that team has been.
And how locked into him they are and how they can't get out of that one.
They can't get out of that one. And as disappointed as we are in the Bears in Chicago, imagine, you know, the Rams, because they did get to the Super Bowl, the expectations were even higher there because of that.
But the thing is, I came to the conclusion as I watched that game and just listening to the broadcast and talking – thinking it through beforehand, well, they can't make the playoffs now. They really had to win that game
to make
the playoffs. They can't because look at the – and then I'm like, why are we ever talking about the Bears winning out and making a playoff spot? That's probably as absurd is the idea that maybe the teams ahead of the Bears will stumble a little bit and somehow come back down to earth.
I think that's part of it.
Is that part of what
– I think it's part of it because the Packers – look pretty vulnerable, even though they are 8-3. The Vikings, you'd think, look very good, but they're going to, you know. So I think possibly that's it.
They're 8-3.
Look, I'm not saying here. It's very difficult to make the argument that the Bears' postseason hopes are alive, but it's something you have to cling to in Chicago.
Right.
Yeah, that's all you're doing is clinging to that.
But if they're clinging to that in L.A. and it's absurd as an outsider looking at it.
Yeah.
Surely I should laugh at the idea that the Bears are clinging to this.
Yeah, you can chuckle. I mean, it's a good chuckle because I'm not sure they're very realistic, those hopes. You know, it's also an example of, you know, you talk about paying Jared Goff and committing to him long term. I think, teams get goaded into doing things for whatever reason, whether it's the media, whether it's the fan base, whether it's the agent. I don't know.
Is it easier too, David? Is it easier to just get goaded into doing something than to actually deal with what you have to deal with? Is it not easier to just say, well, oh, we have this, that's okay, and then let's move on, than to actually soberly look at the thing?
That's kind of lazy, though, isn't it? It's a lazy way to look at it, because if you say that, then yeah, but you're going to make decisions and compromises that you really shouldn't make.
Of course, but the alternative is horrifying. The alternative is that you're just flat out wrong, and you couldn't be more wrong. And the wrongness of your wrong is really
that's a lot of wrong.
You in the keister, and you got to start from scratch. And well, you had enough.
Absolutely. As we talked last week when the Bears were playing the Rams, I would rather be the Bears and have, you know, not been committed to my quarterback for nine-figure contract than be the Rams and have that kind of commitment to a guy that's really been disappointing this year. And you wonder about his future based on the inconsistency you've seen.
Yep.
So I don't know what happens to, you know, they fall into a trap. I mean, you've got to commit to Jared Goff. You've got to sign this contract, where it is difficult to kind of be in limbo for a while. But you might be better off if you're the Bears at quarterback than the Rams, who
but really,
have no other options now.
All they've committed to Mitch, and it is a lot, is the trade up and the, you know, putting that certificate of authenticity on him. This is my U.S. grade A stamp. I love him, and he's the best.
He's ours.
Oh my God! But that's really they're not all in financially yet.
And that's how you know real commitment exists. The other stuff's just fleeting. It's just stuff that you have to kind of deal with when you talk about how much you love a player or what you did to give up to get that player. And yeah, the mistake is well documented that he did to move up to get that guy, but he has not paid him yet. So,
but it is a cautionary tale in a way, because this decision now is as important as the decision to move up and get him. And maybe if you make the decision the other way, maybe you're washing yourself out while you're doing it without even meaning to.
Yeah, that's I think that and yesterday we heard from, you know, right now the conversation around Mitch Trubisky is very interesting, because, you know, we saw limited success, you know, limited growth on Sunday, and even we acknowledged it yesterday. I mean, I tried to acknowledge it yesterday because more positive than there was negative. And then all of a sudden it's like, you're seeing something that's not there. People are so sensitive to just, you know, everything about this guy.
But I mean, we are in a way. When you live in a desert, you know, the drop of water appears to be a flood.
Absolutely. That's what you saw on Sunday. You saw a couple drops of water from a quarterback that really hadn't, you know, he got nothing before. And he was athletic. He made some plays. But yeah, it's still, boy, you look at Goff last night, you look at Trubisky on Sunday, and then you think, man, then you look at Lamar Jackson, like, he's, I want one of those.
312-644-6767 is the number. We've got a big show planned for you, and we have the 5 at 5 next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Join the Wildcats at Welsh Ryan Arena this winter for matchups with Michigan State, Ohio State, Purdue, and more. Season and single game tickets on sale now at nusports.com.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
In the final 5 games of the season, if the final 5 games of the season are about making a decision on Mitchell Trubisky's future, is it time for Matt Nagy to do what Trubisky does best? And is Nagy more interested in calling his game or developing Trubisky?
Well, it was time for him to do what Trubisky does best probably, 10 weeks ago. At some point, coaching is about getting the most out of the players that you have. At some point, coaching is not about showing off your scheme and doing your thing and calling your plays. You just got to acknowledge that there is a gap here between what the coach wants to do and what the player is capable of and what the player is most comfortable with. So good coaching is adapting to what you have and coaching what you have. I think it's been really difficult for Matt Nagy this year. I think after being coach of the year, he believed that this unit was going to take another step. I think that was disproven fairly quickly. Maybe they didn't use the preseason to establish that, but it was disproven fairly quickly. And I think that he's doing a bad coaching job if he's not listening to the player, if he's not watching the player, and if he's not streamlining what he does to suit the talent around him. Unfortunately, that's what coaching is. That might not be what you want to do, but that's what coaching is.
When the Bears study the 2019 season on tape after the year and they go back and self-scout, I think that they will conclude that the big picture analysis is that this was the season that they discovered that, you know, Mitch's skill set doesn't fit Matt Nagy's scheme. And maybe they should have known that going in and adapted quicker. I think it from a Bears perspective, when you watched that Monday Night Football game last night, and I know it's the extreme, and I know the Ravens are the best team in football right now, Lamar Jackson and what he does in that offense and the way they have tailored that offense around his skill set. Now, he is a unique MVP-level talent. That goes without saying. But the same idea has not applied to the Chicago Bears, and that's been the biggest problem for me. You know, you see signs of Mitch Trubisky having athletic ability and the ability to have instincts and to play NFL quarterback. The things that people saw in him coming out of North Carolina beyond Ryan Pace. Look, it wasn't just Ryan Pace that fell in love with this kid coming out of college. I mean, there were a lot of teams that had him very high on the draft board because of the way that he made plays and because of his natural instincts. And I think those are things that are very difficult to see when you try to confine him to this offense and make him a system guy. He's not a system quarterback, and that has become painfully obvious. 36 games into his NFL career, stop talking about development. You're not developing a quarterback. You're making the most of what you have. And the Bears have not done a good job of that because he has not been good enough. So right now, the final 5 games of the year, if he can't adapt, and you heard almost a cry for help post-game from Mitch Trubisky on Sunday. He's like, let me play. Let me react. Stop making me think. And if he can do that, then I think he got something.
Well, you guys are right, but I look at Mitch in his best games he's played this year against Washington, Detroit, and the New York Football Giants. What do those three teams have in common?
They stink.
They are all absolutely dreadful. And you guys were talking yesterday about whether you want to call it parity or mediocrity in the NFL. There are so many bad teams. And I still find myself to be skeptical that there's anything here to salvage with the quarterback until he does it against even an average opponent. I mean, I'm not even talking about, you know, going into Minnesota, into Green Bay versus Kansas City, whomever is left on the schedule here after the Lions, of course. I'm not talking about, you know, 300 yards or 5 touchdown passes like we saw last night or anything crazy like that. I just want to see a competent performance against a good team. Now, the Lions are a bad team, and that's coming up next on the schedule. So I don't know if we'll get a good gauge there of what Trubisky is or isn't. But I'm still skeptical that, you know, catering the game plan to Mitch, you know, playing up tempo, changing everything to suit him, I don't know if that's still the best decision at this point. And I think that while it may make sense to, you know, cater some stuff to try to help him out a little bit, because you don't want to put him at a huge disadvantage.
But expand
the game
on
plan.
That. What is the best decision then? To have him do things he can't do? To play the backup that you're not going to
don't
play?
Don't you have to know what you have, though? Do we know what he is?
Yeah, we unequivocally know
so then what's the point of changing the whole offense around to cater somebody who's not good enough to be a starting quarterback in the NFL?
But I think that's a conclusion that is not necessarily they have reached, or maybe not fair to reach yet, because if, and that's kind of the point we're talking about, if you tailor things to make it so he can succeed better, he is a starting quarterback in the NFL.
You could have Mitch design the playbook for himself, and I still don't think he's good enough to be an NFL quarterback. And I think Matt Nagy's here longer than Mitch anyway, so I don't think you have to turn the whole thing upside down just to try to squeeze blood out of a stone.
Well, Kevin, you might be right about Trubisky. Maybe he isn't cut out to be a starter in the NFL or even a backup. I think he'll eventually be a backup somewhere at some point if he doesn't stay with the Bears. But we haven't seen the last of Trubisky just yet. I mean, we have five games left in this season, and
thanks for the warning.
Oh yeah, a long five games, and I think catering to the skill set of Mitchell Trubisky is what you have to do, because what we've seen in this large sample size so far in this season through 12 weeks of the season is that this isn't working. The Nagy system and the quarterback of Mitchell Trubisky and the skill set he has, they're not meshing, and you see spurts, you see instances like when they go no huddle and play up tempo where he flashes, and I think that's what you have to do. You have to accentuate his skill set because it's a lost cause. If not, then what are we doing in the last five games? You may as well put Chase Daniel in to start for you in the last five games if you don't cater to this kid. Because the reality is this, we're hearing the reports about the Bears' commitment to him. He's not going away. He's going to be here next year. Now, I think it's in the Bears' best interest to bring in somebody to be some serious competition to be starter for your 2020 Bears. But yeah, now is the time to change. Mully, you said it. That's what great coaches do. You change what you're doing to fit what you have. And we have not seen that from Matt Nagy this year.
You have to cater to the quarterback. He touches the ball on every single play when you're on offense. You have to play, right? It's poker, right? You gotta play. You gotta try to outsmart your opponents based on, you're not always going to have pocket aces every time you get the cards dealt to you. What are you going to do with that? Now, yesterday it was interesting. Nagy went out of his way to talk about that he and Mitch on Friday sit down and they go over that BU play sheet, and Mitch tells him what he likes and doesn't like. So that's kind of damning on Mitch, right? Like he's given him the leeway.
Every quarterback does that, though, I think. I think so. Don't
Every quarterback
you?
Does what?
I mean, picks out plays that they like and,
well, right,
and shares
but I'm saying,
it with the coaches.
So Nagy said yesterday that if there's a play on that sheet that Mitch doesn't like, they don't use it. So supposedly, these are all plays that Mitch likes. So which one is it? I mean, do you believe? I guess we're trying to figure out, is that fact or fiction?
I don't buy that. Okay. Do you buy that?
I don't. That's the question about the next contract.
Well, but I mean, if you're giving wrong? Dustin, if I give you a list of 10 plays that you can't run, but you might be able to run two, wouldn't those be your favorites? Doesn't mean
course.
You like the plays.
Right. I just thought I heard yesterday that he allows Mitch to tell him. Him being Nagy, I don't like that play. Take it off the list. So in other words, every play on that BU piece of laminated plastic that he likes to hide behind is all stuff that's A-plus rated by Mitch.
You think Mitch approves the 3rd-and-1 handoff out of the shotgun? I mean, really?
Well, I think
that's
you should,
a coach's
right?
call.
If you're an athlete, you should feel that you can do that. Now, the question is, if the athlete is injured, like he supposedly was, and they were keeping an eye on it, why would you call it? I think if Mitch is 100% healthy, I think you better hope your quarterback can execute that play.
Yeah. Good point.
You raise a lot of great questions.
Does cold weather Eddie Pinheiro get a continued pass on his mediocre performance after a costly penalty on the opening kickoff and another missed long kick? Should the Bears be looking for help?
Do we know what the temperature is going to be at Ford Field on Thursday? He should be really fine.
Oh, although it's working against
too,
him.
Is it too warm on Thursday indoors?
It.
Okay.
Too difficult indoors.
Look, you know, Patrick Manley was on Sports Talk Live last night. And he was talking about this, too. He knows people around the league. the best kickers out there right now, when you talk to personnel people, are Cody Parkey and Elliott Fry. Okay, does either one of those make sense to replace Eddie Pinheiro? I guess not. I have the only problem I have with Eddie Pinheiro is that when you talk about accountability and then you continue to give opportunities to a guy who has clearly let you down and I believe has cost you in part two games. You're sitting here at 5-6, and I wonder if you would have two more victories if you had a field goal kicker you could trust. That said, when you look around the league, it's stunning what's going on this year. I don't understand it, and I'm not sure people who are paid to understand it even understand it, because last year was the second most accurate season in NFL kicking history with 84.7% of field goals. Heading into Sunday's game, that had dropped off 5 percentage points. That's really difficult to understand why. There was a great story in The Ringer about this and about what is happening. And when you see Sunday, a guy who was a Pro Bowl kicker last year for the NFC, Rosas, he was bad, and he cost the Giants an opportunity to win a game against the Bears. So I don't know. I guess you have to continue to give Eddie an opportunity. It's getting colder. Maybe that should encourage you, because if he is a cold weather kicker, maybe we'll bring out the best in his cold toe.
Yeah, I get it that it's hard to find him. I get it that there's not a lot of guys doing great. That it's sort of a league-wide problem. But guess what? It's a major problem with the Bears. And, we come out of a game where the guy kicked off to open the game and put the opponent on the 40-yard line. Kicked off out of bounds. So they start at the 40. And we don't really talk about it. We talk about the farce that was the 48-yard extra point attempt. But he did miss it. I got to tell you, this guy, you can't trust this guy. You're employing a player that you figure, well, there's no one else around and we don't really need him anyway. What's the point of even bothering? We're no longer holding people accountable. At some point, bring in some other kickers and look at them. Make a determination that this is the best guy. Maybe somebody comes in and blows your mind. I mean, what the hell are you doing? Robbie Gould they brought him out of nowhere. He had changed up his timing. He had been in camp with the New England Patriots, and everyone knew how good their kicker was. I think it was Adam Vinatieri at the time. And so they were bringing in tryout guys. They're like, what about that guy that got cut by New England? Let's bring him in. And he ends up being a Pro Bowl player. So do something like that. Don't just keep churning forward and pretending like, well, he's cold weather ready. I mean, that's a made-up thing. That's the most absurd thing I ever heard.
Where's Vedvik?
Okay, I'm with you. I agree. I don't think Eddie Pinheiro is good enough to be an NFL kicker, but isn't that what they did in the offseason when they were bringing all these guys in and they had these weird...
It didn't work!
They were wrong! They got the wrong guy!
So do you trust them to get it right the next time now? They don't know what a kicker looks like. I mean, I think that's pretty evident right now. You have to throw something at the wall to see if it sticks. But
the part about trial deja and error. Vu,
they did. Elliott Fry, yeah. Connor Blue or Connor Barth.
The fact that they've
Chris
quit, though,
Blue-A.
The fact that they're like, well, we tried a lot of stuff. Just please don't mention cold weather. And it's cold out and he's going to be good because that's what we're saying.
We already had to live through the American Idol X Factor competition of kickers throughout Bourbonnais in training camp last season, and it didn't work out. It doesn't mean you don't try it again. Of course you try it again. I just don't know if I could deal with another offseason of kicker talk 24/7. It's a problem for this team on the roster, no question, but they have, I think, bigger problems to address via the offensive line and the quarterback position. Maybe the general manager. It goes way above Eddie Pinheiro. He's more of a symptom of a much larger problem with the Bears right now than anything else.
So Kevin's saying draft a kicker?
No, you don't have enough draft picks for that.
Yeah, I don't think you can draft the kicker, but you have to bring somebody in. You have to. I mean, this is just inconsistency upon inconsistency. And even when, on a day that Cody Parkey. Ooh, I really almost said Cody Parkey. And on a day that Eddie Pinheiro looked a little better, and you can say there was improvement. He missed an extra point. I mean, come on, and some of the troublesome things that he said after that game was he has to be more concentrated and more focused. Dude, it's about to be Thanksgiving. What do you mean? You had the whole kicker competition. You secured the job, and you're talking about being more focused at this point in the season, it's ridiculous. I think a lot of what we're going to see in these next five games, the focus should be on how we can improve this team for 2020. And I think that starts with getting a head start on finding a new kicker, because this guy is just not consistent. Maybe you give him the rest of the season to see if he can, you know, be flawless over the course of the next five games. But I think you bring somebody in as well to maybe take this job from him at the end of the season.
You know, Mully, you brought it up. You know, the guy kicked the ball out of bounds to start the game, and we hardly talked about it yesterday because the Bears won, right? Because on that drive, they didn't get any points. They went four plays, and then they punted. But it was the first thing. I've got my notebook and my pen. It was the first thing I wrote down to make sure that we had that audio in case it came back to haunt them. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, I wonder if Bear fans like got up and said, you know what, I'll go put the Christmas lights up. I'll go rake the leaves. I'll go walk the dog. I mean, to start a game like that, that was they should have brought in a guy a couple weeks ago to challenge this guy. We joked about whether or not the reports that the lights were on at Soldier Field. What was that, Eddie? Did Eddie go down there and turn on the lights, hand over the Park District a check for 10 dimes so that he could work on his craft? Did he not work on kickoffs? He only worked on field goals? Yeah, I mean, you know, Kevin, I don't want to hear about the kicker. If this continues, the kicker, of course, is going to be an issue come off season. Why not bring another guy in to see if he could do something?
But admit it, it was a little funny when the Giants started the second half the same way.
Yeah, that was.
All right, I mean, you think as a Bears fan have kicking problems? What do you think they're saying in New York? Like what you guys talked about in the first segment of the show. I mean, as bad as Mitchell Trubisky is and as down as most of us are on Mitchell Trubisky, Jared Goff didn't throw a touchdown in the month of November, and he's $130 million almost basically guaranteed. Are you kidding me?
Do me a favor, just kind of sit up. Ask me a question professionally and I'll answer it.
With Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford unlikely to return and Jeff Driskel battling a hamstring, it's possible the Bears may be facing former Cleveland undrafted free agent David Blau. Is that even how you pronounce it?
Blau.
No idea.
Blau. Blau.
All right. Good for me. Is that a big advantage or is it possible the Bears won't know what to expect?
Yeah, this is not major league pitching. It's not like you bring up a rookie from the minor leagues and everybody is stunned. They tried to sign Josh Johnson from the XFL and were blocked. They were blocked
by the XFL.
Yes, because he's under contract there. So that's pretty amazing, and it tells you where they're at. Listen, Matthew Stafford is not playing in this game. He's got broken bones in his back, and there's no practice time before this game. You got one practice today. I would be stunned if they do something. Driskel with the hamstring. I tried to beat everyone to the punch and start Googling David Blau before the game began, and David knew all about him because he was a backup at Purdue. And it was like Hoosier love, but he was a backup at Purdue.
Technically, that's Boilermaker love.
Excuse me, and he ended up getting What am I saying?
Yeah,
wrong team,
wrong
but
team.
Right state. He ends up getting signed as an undrafted free agent. They traded him. This is my new favorite thing ever. They traded him in August from Cleveland to Detroit for, wait for it, a swap of conditional seventh round picks. It's a conditional swap of seventh round picks, which basically means, well, if you're better than us or we're worse, we'll give you a pick that's two slots away from how bad you are. It's unbelievable the lack of any kind of investment in this kid. But God bless him. He'll get his opportunity. I think it's a big advantage for the Bears. I don't think it's a question of a guy shocking you with I guess he was a real good high school player, right? He was in the top 35 in high school that year.
How
coming
can
out,
you so. Forget the day that he threw for 572 against
came
Missouri?
Off the bench.
I mean, that was a proud day for Purdue fans. Look, this is a great opportunity for the Bears. It's a cradle of quarterbacks,
it
Purdue.
It is.
Some good ones have played there. Mike
great
Phipps,
ones.
First one
that
comes
ones.
To mind, right?
No, what's his name? Super Bowl. Jim Plunkett,
who's
right?
Who's he?
Jim Plunkett. Drew Brees,
Bob
I think.
Bob Greasy. Plunkett went to Stanford.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Greasy.
Who am I thinking of? Who was the other?
Kyle Orton.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle Orton.
David Blau, if he plays on Thursday, I mean, Khalil Mack will have to suppress a smile at the line of scrimmage. I mean, this is a guy who will be making his first NFL pass if he starts on Thursday. The fact that the Lions were blocked from getting an XFL guy is hilarious. Josh Johnson, oh, who couldn't use a Josh Johnson on their roster? Were the Lions banned from Atlanta during the Kaepernick workout? I mean, come on. Are they going to the Josh Johnson route because they need a quarterback that badly? David Blau, if he plays, the Bears should even feel better about their chances because this defense will just make him feel like he's making his first NFL start against a very good pass rush, and that'll be the case. Jeff Driskel, you know, if he is able to play and he comes back from the hammy, even that, the second time around, it's not Major League Baseball, but I think the fact that they do kind of know more about him will help the Bears defense. I think this could be a long day for Lions quarterbacks if it's not Matthew Stafford, and I think there's no reason to believe it's going to be.
No, Matthew Stafford's probably not going to play. Driskel, what, limited in practice yesterday with a hammy, and for him, you know, he's a guy with that sneaky athleticism that we always talk about when players of a certain pigment play a certain position. So it doesn't look like he will, even if he is able to get out there on Thursday, you know, his legs are part of the weaponry there. So, David Blau, sure, I guess. Okay. It's a huge advantage for the Bears, obviously. I think that goes without saying. There's a reason that this guy has not seen NFL time.
Texter points out that Tom Brady was a backup, too, at one point.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fair enough, I guess. That's a great comparison.
Yeah, but with Drew Henson, and he split time, right?
Drew Henson was supposed to be, like, yes, you know, the next guy.
And this guy, you know who the only guy I can think of is who's the backup from Matt Cassel?
Yeah.
That's the only guy I can think of that was – and he was behind a Heisman Trophy winner, right? He was an example of a college quarterback that wound up as an NFL starter.
Didn't Matt Cassel get, like, one pretty decent contract?
He did,
yeah,
after the 11-5 season when Tom went down.
Yeah. And Bill Belichick can
And Lenny Dawson, ladies and gentlemen. That's who I was
thinking. Yes, Lenny Dawson. Yes.
It's a huge advantage, and even if the Bears don't know what to expect, it's still a huge advantage. It's David Blau, and no disrespect to the huge game he had versus who did he throw for 500 yards against?
Mizzou.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot about that one. Jeez.
Still, Biggs is still embittered.
In general.
Nothing to do with Mizzou.
Well, we're talking about the NFL here, so strange things can happen. Need I remind you of one Nick Mullins for the 49ers last year.
Good one, Ray.
You know, the Gardner Minshew. There's strange things that happen, but come on, let's be realistic here. This is a big advantage for the Bears defense. They have to take advantage of this. This is not a disadvantage. They have to tear this guy up. They do. They have to. They have to come out of this with a win if you don't see a surprise start from Matthew Stafford.
Absolute advantage, Bears. I mean, this isn't baseball where you don't have a book on the guy. They run an offense, right? They run an absolute offense in Detroit, supposedly. I guess you can make some jokes. But I'd be shocked if Driskel is playing for a contract, right? I mean, there could be some team that falls in love. Chicago, would you want Jeff Driskel in here competing against Mitchell Trubisky? Does Jeff Driskel have more athleticism than Mitch?
Comparable
or yeah, better? I mean, so I'm just saying, I would think you'd take every ice bath and shot a Toradol and big heavy Advils that you're allowed to take, and you tuck your shirt in, put your jock on, and pull your socks up tight and get out there and play.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a question we're going to ask management here today.
Are the Bulls figuring out their identity, heading toward another major shakeup, on the verge of getting it together, or running in place?
Well, I don't think that they're making progress, and that's the main thing. And when you look at what happened last night, these aren't the Blazers that were, you know, coming off this great gonna compete for a Western Conference title. This was a team at the back end of a 6-game road trip, 5-12 coming into the United Center, and Carmelo Anthony goes for 25. You know, the Bulls have issues defensively with rebounding. They can't hit open shots. Lauri Markkanen is missing in action. Zach LaVine took 13 shots after hitting 13 threes on Saturday night. As they say, it's all a problem. And I don't want to hear any more about spirit and soul. Figure out a way to get this team to to play better because they're underachieving and they're not doing anything particularly well. The offense, you can say, well, it's working. They're getting open shots. I don't like the way that, Boylan necessarily leaves his players hanging out to dry after games either. This is not a good situation. And when you look at the options, none of them are really small, incremental moves that you can make and expect any sort of change. You're talking about possibly, does this chemistry of this mix make sense? Because this was a season that Markkanen and or Levine or both were supposed to be the difference in outcomes, and they're just not making an impact. And then you have a coach that may be losing his team already. So you've got all sorts of issues sort of brewing, and this is a bad team heading in the wrong direction.
Okay, so I feel limited by the categories here. Figuring out their identity, definitely not. Heading toward another major shakeup should be, but you can't say that, so I'm going to go with a definitely not on that one. On the verge of getting it together? No chance. Getting what together? Getting the band back together? I don't understand what they're getting together. Running in place, that's the only option that would apply to what's going on with the Bulls. This is a bad team that's remaining a bad team. And this is a team where the coach is trying to really influence what's happening with the players. But there's an inconsistency to how he does it because you can't act like Lauri Markkanen isn't the problem and yell at Zach LaVine and then have Zach LaVine play well and don't yell at Lauri Markkanen. And I get it. You know, you have to treat different players differently and different personalities differently, but there's a little bit of inconsistency into what he's doing. And by the way, the whole league is run by the players. The coach is irrelevant. So he's way into it and really trying hard, and he's got this kind of college coach mentality, but it's the NBA.
It's like a high school.
It's not that. It's like he's trying to create and run a fiefdom, which you do in college, but you can't do in the NBA.
And it would be great if the biggest problem for the Bulls were the fact that LaVine and Boylan didn't get along.
And that would be fantastic.
Wouldn't that be great?
But it's like, I don't know that anybody ever pays attention to the coach in the NBA. Phil Jackson gets a ton of credit for everything that he did in his career. What he managed to do was to get players to buy into the idea that if you go get the ball and you just let him shoot the ball and you maybe give him the ball, then everybody will get a bigger contract and a ring and money.
And get out of the way.
It's all it is.
And stay out of the way.
That's what it is. It's kind of forge a business relationship and stay out of the way. I don't know what this is. This is way too, you know, touchy-feely, and it's not working. So, and it's not supposed to work because it's the NBA. So until they get to a point where the players are good enough to take over the team, they're running in place.
Maybe we overrated the roster a little bit coming into this season. I think that's a possibility. I mean, they're 6-12. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, that the head coach is a buffoon. And the only reason that he's employed is because he licks the organizational boot of Garpax. It's literally the one reason that he has this job right now. But I don't even think that they're running in place. I think they're regressing. And I think, you know, we expected them to be healthy. We expected them to be better. They're not, and nothing's going to change until there is another shakeup. But does the front office deserve to be able to shake it up again? I mean, when is there going to be any accountability on the last 15, 20 years of mediocrity or worse that we've had to suffer through as Bulls fans? I think if they were running in place, that would be an upgrade from whatever this BS is that they've been doing this year.
I agree, Kevin. They're not running in place. It's more of a casual stroll in place. That's what it is. And we see great things at times from, like, Zach LaVine against a terrible Hornets team, like that big 49-point performance on Saturday. But overall, this is a disappointment of a season from a team you thought would be playoff-bound, at least an eighth seed at best.
Neither of you guys are staying within the category of the question.
I mean, if I have to pick one of these, it's running in place.
That's what I had to do.
Okay. We don't have to do anything.
You are offered four options,
this
sir.
This is a free-flowing kind of, you know, throwing it out there type of segment,
there
man.
There are no rules. There are no parameters for Kevbo.
We're vibing, babe.
You can't put me in a box.
He's bouncing out of that box.
Running in place is the answer, but it's a bad place to be running in. You know, I'm sure the ratings weren't very high on Saturday night. I was indoors and at home and on the couch and flipping between the Bulls and college football, and I was watching on Twitter, so I went back to the Bulls game and stuck with it.
And hockey.
All the way to the end. And there was hockey going on, too. You're right, David. The Bulls were on Plus, I think, right? They were on.
Yes.
They made it to NBC Plus because they thought so little of Bulls Hornets. But you won that game. You had the Zach LaVine, all the Zach LaVine, and that was how you came home. And you let your fan, you played so bad that the fans were chanting, "We want Melo." Is right.
It's a great question.
Are you disappointed the White Sox put Yoelmer Sanchez on outright waivers in an apparent cost-cutting move? And why doesn't he deserve a hint of Abreu treatment?
Boy, I was disappointed by this just because Yoelmer, let me tell you something. It's a hard team to watch. It's been hard to watch all these years. And when Yoelmer runs out and pours some water over his own head, something like that, just gives you a smile, makes you happy you tuned in. When he, you know, the kind of clown prince act is great. The idea that because he won a gold glove, he's going to get 6-point-something million, and that's too much money. And so they don't want him going to arbitration, so they're going to outright release him. I mean, it's a cold business, man. I get it. Professional sports is a cold business. But Yoelmer, you know, the guy is a good teammate. He's a good guy. He's worked his rear end off. I understand why they made the decision they made, and I understand that if he's a starter on your team, that you're probably not going as far as you need to go. But he's a solid, good player. I get it. The bat. I understand everything about him.
He's a good teammate. It's not fair.
It's not fair, and he is a good teammate. No, it did. It just. It's like it bothers me a little bit. Okay, now if you sign Zach Wheeler and you're trying to make sure that you have a spot there because you don't want anyone taking anyone in the
right.
in the Rule 5 draft. I mean, I get it. I understand all the and maybe no one wants them, and you can poke him down to Charlotte. But I think you should give him. That's a hardworking guy and a good guy, and he deserves a little bit. I mean, what the hell's $1 million among friends?
The business can be as cold as the Gatorade he will dump over your head. And that sometimes is just the reality. He's not worth, okay, he's worth keeping, but $6 million is not worth what he gives you at the plate. 2 home runs, 43 runs batted in. Offensively, it just, that's what you're paying for. I don't know. That's an expensive glove option, expensive defensive replacement, $6 million if that's what it would have cost to keep him. Maybe somehow nobody will claim him. I doubt that'll happen. So, and plus, he's in somebody's way. Nick Madrigal is a guy on the way. So I get this. Difficult to take. But maybe part of the new White Sox, maybe they're taking that next step, and this is all part of that process. But, yeah, you hate to see Yoelmer go because he was such a good guy in the clubhouse and fun to cover.
If he was not in line to make $6 million last year, I'd say keep him on the roster because he has value defensively. Certainly, he can play a few different positions in the infield, but it just – for that price tag, it just doesn't make any sense to keep him there. David, you mentioned there's a replacement on the way. Hopefully he'll be up sooner rather than later. You're not trying to be warm and fuzzy and pour Gatorade and, you know, clown around. You're trying to win baseball games. They're trying to get better. White Sox fans are sick of mediocrity and the whole, you know, you got a job for life sort of thing that we have under Jerry Reinsdorf. This is just something that has to happen.
Well, it's all about money here. Yeah, Yoelmer is a gold glove defender, but he struggled at the plate last season. So I get it. I mean, you're going to have Lourdes Garcia and Danny Mendek who will play. But the biggest thing, the biggest reason this move is the right move is you have Nick Madrigal waiting. And you bring him in at some point, hopefully soon.
Is Nick Madrigal ready to play every single day? Is he ready to...
Yeah. And they got Lourdes Garcia can move in and help them out.
I don't like it, but people have called the White Sox cheap over the years. And when you're talking about baseball contracts, $6 million, while it'd be fantastic for any of us to make $6 million a year, is really not great baseball money. It just seems cheap.
It's too much for a backup.
This division is there to be. Look what happened to the Cubs with the, you know, messing around with the backups. Okay. See Daniel Descalso. Okay. You know, well, let's tinker with the backups and see what happens. That guy was awful. So you're still going to have to bring in somebody to cover the backside of Nick Madrigal.
Yeah, what about Rendon playing third? Then you move Mancata to second. That'd be good. I'm just saying. Then you wouldn't complain about missing Yolman.
No, I'm not complaining. I mean, here's the thing.
It was a feel-good story that he won a gold glove, right?
Yes, it was. Right? And that ends up being what drives him out of town. Yeah. I'm saying, Dustin, you know, does Abreu deserve the contract he's getting? Is he going to be able to earn that? No, that's a career achievement
award. That's a gold watch.
That's exactly what that is. So what? Yolmer doesn't deserve any kind of watch?
Two of those?
He hadn't been around long enough. If he could only get not selected, not picked up off waivers, and he can rejoin the White Sox, then wait 3 years. He'll be in. He'll deserve that gold watch.
Maybe the Cubs can claim him.
Man, that's all I'm saying. I'm bummed. This guy poured water all over himself. It was hysterical. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.